Good, good. Praise the Lord. You know, I heard of sound men, but we have sound women here, amen. And I suggest we get that later, amen. But in today's world, I guess that's not politically correct anymore. Praise God, amen. Well, it's a blessing to be here at Clearview Baptist Church and an honor to be here as a part of the 35th anniversary celebration. And that is such a blessing for a church like this. And look at this crowd on a Saturday night, amen. What a blessing that is. And it's a blessing to see many new faces as well. That's always just an awesome thing. And man, I tell you what, I always tell my wife this. Clearview is just sitting right in the smack center of just a gold mine. And what I mean by that is just a place where the gospel, it's just right where the gospel needs to be. And people are coming in here from every direction. And praise the Lord for Clearview Baptist Church, amen. I wish where I lived we had all the restaurants and stuff y'all have, amen. And to go on a good anniversary date, we go to McDonald's down the road. But it is a blessing to be here. Appreciate Brother Corey. And I was just telling my wife, coming down here, we just got out of our missions conference. And I worked under my father-in-law for 5.5 years, and I worked under Brother Corey for 2 years. And I told my wife, we had just an awesome missions conference. And I said, you know, that missions conference was everything that I learned under Brother Corey and serving at the Clearview Baptist Church. And this was the statement I made, Brother Corey, is, you know, I've been in missions conferences where the missionaries come and then they leave the night they come. And one thing I learned about Brother Corey when I was here is he, even despite all the expenses that come with having a missions conference, the missionaries would stay all week. And you know what? I learned that that was so vital to the conference because we built a relationship with them and we got to hear their burdens. You build a love for their family instead of saying hello and bye-bye, but you get to stay with them, enjoy them. And so I learned so much over the years, and that was one of the things. And just, I tell you what, you just take it and you implement it, and you put it into practice and some shoe leather, and you work it, amen. And so we're up there in the Portsmouth, Ohio area, and just of a county of about 80,000 people. God's doing a great work, and we've been there almost 4 years in September. September 23rd, I was voted in. October 5th, I became their pastor. And so 4 years has come and gone almost, and it's been quick. And I tell you what, I've been blessed, amen, to put up with a man like me. They've done real well, amen. I still got a job and able to put meat on the table every now and then. So praise the Lord for that. But it has been such a blessing, amen, to be here thus far and to see so many get to talk to you. And it's just been awesome. You have noticed our family has grown. When we were here, we only had 2 dogs. Believe it or not, one of those dogs died, amen. And so we were very sad. My wife cried like a baby. I didn't cry. No, I was the one who cried like a baby. But we have added a little boy the Lord gave us. And I tell you what, for 11 years, we just came to a point where we thought God would just let us love on other people's children in the church. And the blessing of that is you get to spoil them, have fun with them, teach them bad things, they go home, amen. Now I'm going to probably do a whole lot of reaping, amen. But we have been blessed with our little son. His name is Stone. Many people, we get this oftentimes, why'd you name him Stone? Last night we were eating at a restaurant, and my wife was saying his name. Some of the older folk, excuse me, but they were much older than me, amen, and they were sitting next to us, and my wife leaned, well, actually, she texted me because she couldn't be quiet saying it, amen, but this was the statement. They said, did they name their son Stone? And yes, we named him Stone, but there's a significance behind it. Obviously, we prayed, sought the Lord, and you know, as I told you, we thought, well, we'll just probably never have kids. And let me just say this, we were okay with that. We just, you know, we were never bitter at God. There are many people that we meet that's never had children. We thought, you know what, that's just going to be God's will for our life, and we were completely content. I think that's what happens sometimes, is we can get to a point where you say, okay, God, you're just in control. It just took 11 years for us, amen. So anyways, the name came, my wife mentioned it to me, and of course, I had another name in particular, and she said, my wife, you can tell, she runs the home, amen. And I said, well, let me think on that. But she failed to mention all this to me at the beginning. She said, you know, babe, You know, the Lord gave me that name because, you know, our giant in our life is infertility. And to make a long story short, because I want to get to the message, I don't want to give you all my hoorah. I want Brother Hollis to get up here in a minute. But I had a man in our church, a very good man, died unexpectedly August 16th of 2020. A good man. He had came in my office just a few months before his death, and he said, we were in the fellowship hall, and no pastor likes whenever somebody comes up and says, hey, can I speak to you in private? By the way, no pastor likes that. At least give them a heads up and say, it's all good. Can I talk to you for a minute? And so I said, sure, Brother Willis. And we went back there, and he said, Pastor, you've been on my heart. And this man, he was a tremendous blessing to our church. He, his talent was literally just he gave of himself and his finances, just one of those good men in the church. And he said, you know, and his wife had passed away with cancer, and he was just a widower. And he said, you know, the Lord's laid on my heart, I'd love to pay for fertility medicine, doctor visits. At this time, we were still in the process of getting all our health insurance worked out and stuff, and it was just a mess. And so this man came to me, and I said, you know, Brother Lef, do you mind if I pray about that? I said, you know, this is a tremendous blessing. He said, I'll take care of every dime. He said, and I'm not making you do this, I just want to see if this will help. Well, we never got to that. The Lord took him home to heaven on a Sunday morning. I got a call at about 7:18, and I went over to his house, and they had found him dead in his bed. And I preached that morning. I did his homegoing service a few days later. One of those men, Brother Corey, that's just near and dear to your heart. And you think, man, Lord, why did he take him? He was such a friend, such a blessing to the ministry here. Little did I know that me and my wife, fast forward a few years, let's see here, 2021, we got COVID. And our whole church had an outbreak, and we shut down the church, and we were just all just bad sick. And me and my wife were sick, and we never get sick. And one of the biggest symptoms that we had of COVID was, I guess, the anxiety, amen. We were walking 4 miles a day, making sure our lungs and stuff stay intact. And through all that, we did not know that Anna was pregnant with our little baby boy. And we tell many people this, COVID, which was a curse and such a horrendous time for many people across the world, it was a blessing for me and my wife. And we look at our son, oftentimes they call him a COVID baby. You fill in the blanks there, amen. And we call him a miracle from God, and so we're just excited about him. And I'm excited about this week, amen. I'm excited about what God's going to do through here, and it's a blessing to see many people that are still near and dear to our hearts. And I thank you and I commend you for your faithfulness to the Lord. And God's got great things in store for Clearview Baptist Church. And you're under great leadership, and you're a good soul-winning minded church. And so just stay out of it, amen. We're currently in a building program. A man made a statement to me. He said, if you can get through the first phase of the building program without splitting your church, you'll make it. I said, hey, man, that's an encouragement. This man didn't go to our church. I said, that's an encouragement. Could you go ahead and write $500,000 check? Amen. That'd be a huge blessing, but I'm just excited to be here. You take your Bibles. Go to Mark chapter number 4. Mark chapter number 4 tonight. I battled with this thought, and I wanted to preach something else, but the Lord has drawn me to this. I want to be a help to you. And boy, we had a good time out visiting this morning, and the Lord kind of just basically solidified it in my heart this morning, this morning to preach to you this evening what I'm going to give to you. Go to Mark chapter number 4 and verse number 35. The Bible says, in the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, notice this statement, let us pass over unto the other side. When they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. Notice verse number 37. This is a pretty rough storm taking place here. Verse number 38, and the Bible says, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Asleep on a pillow. Do you see that this evening, church family? Jesus was asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. I want to preach to you for with just a few moments with the help of the Lord on what I've entitled Pillows of Promise. Pillows of Promise. Here in our story, Jesus has been teaching His disciples to trust the Word of God. I think we can all commend that, and we can all agree with it in our Christian life. We should trust the Word of God. Now, help me out, church family. The quicker you amen, the quicker I preach amen. But we can, there we go. You're ready to get me down, amen. Jesus had been teaching His disciples to trust the Word of God. Matter of fact, Jesus gave us many illustrations throughout Scripture how important it is. Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 4. You know the story. Jesus, of course, is tempted in the wilderness by the devil. The Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17, the Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You better mark it down. Our faith must always be tested, and that's why God allows storms and trials to come into our lives, but He's not done with us. We have the Scripture that gives us a confidence knowing that God is going to take care of our every need. You think about the Apostle Paul. He commended the church of Philippi there from a Roman jail cell. He told them, because you've taken care of me, you're going to see that God is going to supply your every need. That's the confidence we have in the Word of God. It's going to take care of us tonight. God's going to meet every need in your life. Now, as storms enter into your life, you can pillow. Now, I wanted to bring a pillow tonight for illustration, but I just felt bad walking out of the hotel. There's a pillow, amen. Brother Helmick's got a pillow. I just felt bad walking out of the hotel with a pillow in my hand because I could just see it. Well, Ms. Gowan, you'd have got another call, amen. My wife has gotten already a lot of complaints already, amen. But I could just see the hotel saying, hey, that's our pillow. So, just use your mind tonight as we get to this thought here in just a moment. But as storms enter into your life, you can pillow your heart in the peace of God and the protection of an almighty God. That's just how good God is, amen. Exodus chapter 14 and verse number 14, the Bible says, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Tonight, every one of us need to understand the battle isn't ours to win alone. It's there for God to win through us. The Bible teaches us that greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Now, I understand it looks bleak. It looks dreary tonight. It looks worrisome tonight. We just went through a pandemic and we're still going through difficulty and all the wickedness and the vice that we're seeing before our very eyes. I mean, Paul told Timothy there that in the last days we shall see perilous times. They will come. Hey, there are dangerous times amongst us right now, but as a child of God, it's not time to run away from the storm. It's not time to run away from the difficulty, but it's time to run to the Scripture and the Word of God and to pillow yourself on the promises of an almighty God. Don't give up on God because God doesn't give up on you. God never gives up on us, and here in the story, we're going to see that in just a moment, but I love how God gets us through difficulty. I read this story. There's a marker on a rock near the top of Mount Washington, marking the spot where a woman climber lay down and died. She was so close to the top that she could almost hit it with a stone. 100 steps, not my boy, but another one, amen. With 100 steps more, and she would have reached the shelter she sought. But she did not know this. Disheartened by the storm, beaten in body and distressed in spirit, she was at the end of her courage. She could not see a step ahead, so she lay down and died 100 steps from her goal. You know, preacher, there's a lot of Christians tonight. You miss out on the perfect will of God for your life because you quit. You miss out on the perfect will of God for your life because a storm comes, because some difficult times come. I know men tonight that's in my town, that's here in this town, that looks at the media, that looks at the White House, that looks at all the Hollywood crowd and says, my goodness, it's just so wicked. It's not even useful anymore. Can I say no? It is more useful right now. We shouldn't give
give up, but we should keep persevering and saying that if God be on the throne, and He is, and if God live in my heart, and the Holy Ghost of God has sealed me into the day of redemption, I know if I can put one foot in front of the other, God's going to help me get through the difficulty tonight. Now, the battle isn't ours, but it's God to win through us. George S. Patton, I love this. He said, courage is fear holding on a minute longer. Courage is fear holding on a minute longer. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said this, by perseverance, even the snail reached the ark. Boy, isn't that good? You ever thought about this? I mean, that little snail, man, just... Oh, but boy, how many of us Christians, boy, we get just a little stub toe on Saturday night. I know, I'm preaching to the cream of the crop tonight, but we all need just a kick in the backside every now and then. But we get a little stub toe every now and then, and boy, we just get a little headache, and we just get to a point where we say, I'm tired, I got stuff to do. My goodness, God has something for you. God has something on the preacher's heart. God has something from His Word. Hey, you persevere through that, and you get to the house of God, and you let God speak to your heart. He's got something for you, amen. If a snail can make it by perseverance, a child of God should be able to persevere for the will of God. I think about the lady with the issue of blood, 12 years. Think about her. Boy, she got through the press, the crowd. Brother Hollis, she did. I can just see it now. Jesus was walking. Of course, we know God knows everything. But I imagine Jesus was probably up ahead, preacher. And my goodness, that lady, she just comes and she tugs right there. She did all she could to get to Jesus. She didn't let nothing get in her way. I think about bus kids on Saturday morning or Sunday morning. Whenever that bus comes by their way, my goodness, you think about this. They've got all hell that's in their home. They've got all wickedness and disaster going on. But boy, they know that church bus is coming. They do all they can to get to that bus. They do all they can to get to that worker that's going to show them the love of God. They do all they can to get to that house of God where they know the love of God. Can I say this tonight? That bus kids usually don't come to church at the very beginning because they love God. They come to church because you love them. I'm a product of that. And then I grew to love God as I saw the love of God shed abroad in their hearts. That's the work of God, amen. And so here we see many stories. Zacchaeus, that sycamore tree, and he got up there. We see so many stories in the Scripture where people came to God and they persevered to get to God. Now I love Luke chapter 9 and verse number 58. The Bible says, and Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes. Think about this. Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. Look back at Mark chapter number 4, and look back at verse number 38. You find this awesome statement where the Holy Spirit of God, He gave me something that I needed. The Bible says, and He was in the hinder part of the ship, you see it, church, asleep on a pillow. Now you think about this, the lovely Lord Jesus. The Scripture tells us that the foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay His head. Here we see the humanity of God in this Scripture. We see a man, Jesus Christ, who was all God and all man, I believe, according to the Scripture. But we see Him in His humanity where, man, He's tired. But what's a blessing through all this is while Jesus is asleep on a pillow, there is a massive storm taking place. Stay with me, church. We're going somewhere. Jesus taught us serving the King sometimes is not always comfortable. Would you agree with that tonight, church? Serving the King, there is pillars in the church tonight that have been here for 35 years. They would say Clearview Baptist has been through some hard times. Not that Clearview Baptist couldn't handle the hard times because Jesus built the church, praise God. But there are some difficult times and some uncomfortable times that take place. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2, the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Oh, we need some of God's people who will just keep persevering tonight. David didn't run from Goliath. He ran to him. Daniel didn't run from the decree, but he ran to his prayer closet, and he didn't worry about those lines. He knew God was going to take care of him. Jesus here is the master of every situation and the conqueror of every enemy. Oh, I'll skip one of my pages. I still got good stuff to go. Noah endured the mockery of building a boat for the flood. You see, endure to enjoy the blessings of God. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Look at verse number 38. Here's the message. Still got a few moments. Amen. In the midst of this storm, Jesus falls asleep on a pillow. Verse number 38, we read it a while ago. Now think about this with me, church family. Tonight when you go home, you just ate good. If you're like any good old person, amen, you're going to sleep good tonight. Lord willing. And you know what you do when you lay down, unless you're just weird, when you lay down on your bed, you get that pillow ready, do you not? Help me out now, church. You get that, there we go, you get that pillow ready. You know what, if you're like me, man, you sometimes got to crunch it a little bit. You got to just figure out how it feels. But you know what, that pillow, you get it to where it's comfortable. That pillow's soft. How many of y'all in here tonight, you like your pillow to be cold when you first left? Yes, my goodness, we're Americans in here. Praise God. That's the American way, amen. I love my pillow. I enjoy it. There at the hotel, they've got their pillows. And my wife, she's weird. She brings her own pillow every time. She tells me I'm just nasty. She brings her own pillow. It's got her perfect imprint in there, amen. But we love to have that pillow tonight. You know what? It brings comfort. It gives us rest. The Lord Jesus told us in Luke chapter 9, as we read a while ago in verse 58, the foxes have holes, the birds have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. Here he gets on this ship, and I don't know how it all worked out, but Jesus finds a pillow, and he goes and finds rest and comfort in that pillow. I want to help us tonight for just a few moments. As God's people, we have a confidence in the promises of God today. God's not a liar. God, when he says something, you can take it to the bank tonight. I understand that we can't put confidence in man, but we can put confidence in God tonight. I don't care what they say on the Newsmax or CNN or Fox News. I don't even care what they say on ESPN. It's nothing more than a political genre now. But I can tell you this. I can go to the throne room of grace, and God tells me everything that I need. And he tells me in his word, hey, son, it's going to be all right. I know what's going to happen. I know this. At the very end, I'm going to win, praise God. And God secures me with the promises, and we can bank on those. We can rest on the pillows, if you will, of the promises of the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 20. The Bible says, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen unto the glory of God by us. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Jesus is the master of every situation and the conqueror of every enemy that you and I have. I know we know what the common denominator is. We know what the elephant is in the room tonight. It's nothing more than old slew food Satan, and he wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy my family. He wants to wreak havoc in the house of God. But listen to me tonight, child of God. You can bank on the promises of an almighty God. When storms come in your life, when difficulties come in your life, be just like Jesus. You find that pillow of promise. You lay your head on it. If you're like me or anybody else, you've had those nights where you can't sleep. Fear and doubt and confusion come upon you. Oh, but the grace of God, praise the Lord, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding, as Paul told us in Philippians, we can find those promises and bank and rest on them as we lay our hands on those pillows tonight. Look at verse number 36. I've got to hasten. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. There's a sermon in itself in the study. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. You see, it was no coincidence this storm arose. You study, I've never been over there to Jerusalem or seen the Sea of Galilee, but if you study it and talk to anybody that has been there, The Sea of Galilee was known for violent storms to happen sporadically. This was no coincidence. You see, this storm, it must have been, stay with me now, extremely fierce. Think about this. If frightened, experienced fishermen were scared, look at verse number 38. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Can I say this, that experience does not always drive away fear? It doesn't matter how long you've been saved, storms are going to enter into your life, and don't let the devil sell you a bill of goods. Well, hey, you've been saved for 30 years, you've been saved for 20 years, you'll be just fine. You don't need to go to the Scripture. You don't need to go to the house of God. Can I say this? The devil will tempt you and lie to you with those kinds of things. You don't need to listen to the man of God. You don't need to teach that Sunday school. You don't need to sing in choir and be a blessing to somebody. You don't need to go to that prayer group. You don't need to go soul winning and reach somebody with the gospel. Whenever those storms come, hey, listen to me. Experience means nothing. Oh, you've got to find the will of God. You've got to find peace in the book. You've got to get embedded in the Scriptures. These men were fighting for their life. They weren't just the average Joe. They weren't just rookies. They knew this sea. They knew those storms happened sporadically, but these men were scared to death. Oh, can I testify tonight, 2020, I'll never forget. We had, it was in March, or right at the end of February, we had 152 at church. All of a sudden, the next Sunday, it was 62. The next Sunday, it was 24. Zero. Now, as a Baptist preacher, Brother Jameson, help me on this one. You get a little bit scared. Oh, boy. Man, what's going to happen? Wednesday night, some of my men come up to me, Pastor, what are we going to do? Men, I have no idea. I don't think any other pastor's been through this unless they're through the Spanish flu. They're all dead. All of a sudden, I'll never forget, we were out there, and man, we're just in the country, amen. Live stream. Live stream was just a luxury. Now it's a stinking necessity, and I got to be careful. We have some of our church family watching. They know I get ticked off of that thing sometimes. But God has blessed it at our church. Well, all of a sudden, you went from preaching to people. You went from seeing God work. And let me say this tonight, church. Sometimes I've heard this from people. Well, a preacher just wants people there in the pew so he can try to get what he can out of them. No, let me tell you what blesses a preacher's heart. When he sees decisions made by the Holy Spirit of God moving in the church house. It's hard to see God moving when you're looking at a stinking screen or an iPhone screen. You can't see the work of God. And I understand we do our best and use the resources, and we did that. But I'll tell you this, there was a storm. There was fear and doubt and worry. I'll never forget, I went home. This was when all the riots and junk was going on. And I sat down there in the living room. Brother Corey, I preached to nobody. And my wife, when we got home, she didn't even want to tell me this. You'll laugh. But she says, Brent, I'm sorry. It only got about 10 minutes of the message and then cut out. I said, did it get the good part? She said, I don't know. I said, man, you know, you work hard. Messages don't... They don't just come like that, you know. For me, they don't. You've got to work hard. You've got to study. Boy, all of a sudden, man, I went through that, and I was talking to my wife, and the preacher, she made a very profound statement. She said, you know, Brent, we've always prayed and heard preach, we need revival. And I said, yeah. And she goes, but you know what, Brent? Revival doesn't come how we expect it to come. Revival doesn't come where just all of a sudden, boom, everybody's right with God. Now, if you're like me, sometimes I got floundered into that thought where I thought, well, that's... She said, you know what? God purges. Man, I'm thinking, are you the preacher? Am I the preacher? She said, God purges, Brent, and He takes things away. And my goodness, I tell you what, God spoke my heart that day, Brother Hannah. And man, I was sitting there and I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to do my best and I'm going to do all I can. What am I saying tonight? That was something that for me personally, I was going through. And I've got others in storms and you've got your storms. But listen to me tonight. Don't let the devil whisper in your ear, hey, You've been there, done that, and bought the t-shirt? No, listen to me. Every storm is a valuable test from an almighty God where we can have a testimony as Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Oh, but he's not done yet. Blessed be the name of the Lord, and I can say this, God is good and worthy to be praised. Let's not get caught up in our difficulties and storms, but let's keep going through there by leaning on the grace of an almighty God. Let's not get too caught up in, well, I've been saved for 40 years. I already know about all. Oh, it bothers me when somebody says that, brother. Yeah, I've seen that. I've done that. Well, my friend, the devil has all kind of tricks up his sleeve every stinking time. Experience, don't let the devil use experience to mess you up and derail you in your faith. Difficulties, I'm almost done. Difficulties, distresses can disturb us and cause us to miss out on the promises of God as he causes us to panic. Look back at verse number 38 as we look at this scripture. Asleep on a pillow, and look at this. These disciples, and they awake him, and saying to him, Master, carest thou not? I'm excited today and tonight that during not so good times and questionable times and doubting times and sorrowful times that we can pillow our trust on Jesus and his promises. I love verse number 38. Look at it with me again, church. This is the majority of my message. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him. You see that tonight, church? The Bible says, and they awake him. Brother Corey, what I love about that is the storm, the splashing of the water, the arguing of the disciples did not awake Jesus Christ, but it was the cries of the disciples that awoke the lovely Lord Jesus. I, as a new father tonight, I know this. I can sleep through my little guy's crying sometimes, but oh, his precious mama, as soon as she hears just a little peep, she's up just like that. That's just like Jesus Christ is. He hears our very cries. He shutters out all the noise of the world, all the panic and fear of the world. And he hears us when we cry out to an almighty God. And the cry of his disciples is what awoke him here in the midst of this storm. Oh, can I say this, that Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse number 3, it says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Oh, listen to me, child of God. Jesus never draws a deaf ear to us. He says, if you draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. These disciples here in the midst of the storm, oh, I'm feeling it coming on. These disciples were in the midst of the storm. All kind of chaos and confusion and racket was going on. The storm was crazy, and Jesus was awoken by the cries of his people. Wouldn't it be something tonight if God's people put away those things that distract them, put away those things that disturb their emotions, put away those things that drive fear into their lives, and they just get a hold of an almighty God tonight? Can I say this? It is impossible to please God without faith, but he that cometh to God and believeth that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You said God's not meeting me in my life. God's not helping me. God's not blessing me. I'm stuck in this rut in the middle of my storm. I'm still in the boat tonight, and the storm is causing me to shift to and fro. Oh, listen to me. God's still right there. He walks with you. He talks with you. He ain't left you. The Bible says he will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God is still with you. I love 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 7. It says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You study that word care. It means your concerns, your worry, your fears. You think about 1 Peter 5:8. Every Christian in here can quote that verse. Be sober. Be vigilant. Help me out, church, for your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Why would in the scripture we get verse 7 before verse number 8? I think God is, he is all knowing. God knew that if we can't give him our worries, how can we be sober and be vigilant when the devil comes and attacks? You ever thought about that? Verse number 8 follows verse number 7 for a reason. Oh, Pastor, I'm still in the ship. Boy, these storms, they have consumed me. Have you given God all your concerns and your cares? Because to be sober and be vigilant, you've got to be free of fear and full of faith. For we walk by faith and not by sight. I can't always see God, but I can sure trust God. I don't always know where God's at in my life, but I know He lives right here in my heart according to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God, who He left as a comforter and dwells inside of this tabernacle, the body tonight. I know He's right here with me. And God says, hey, when you cry out to me, oh boy, that's what awoke me tonight. That, oh boy, that is what helped me in my life. Listen to me tonight. God wants to hear everything that you want to lay on Him. One night, I read this story. One night I dreamed a dream as I was walking along the beach with my Lord. Across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that at many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. This really troubled me, so I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troubling some times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you the most, you would leave me. Oh, He whispered, my precious child, I love you and will never leave you. Never ever during your trials and testings, when you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I was carrying you. Isn't that just like God? Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse number 8, the Bible says, and the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear thou not, neither be dismayed. Whenever we look at the Scriptures tonight, verse number 35, it teaches us this, church family. Your present situation is not your permanent position. Your present situation is not your permanent situation or position. Look at verse number 35. I love this. I love how that Jesus just outlines the Scripture. And the same day when the even was come, He saith unto them, let us. You ever looked at that and said, it wasn't just God that said, let me. But He said, let us pass over unto the other side. God does not always promise an easy trip, but He did promise a guaranteed arrival of their destination in verse number 35. Church family, I don't know what you're going through, but I know this, for a church to celebrate 35 years, you better believe the devil's going to start fighting you tonight. And you better remind him that when that storm and that trial comes, let us. Those disciples, think about this. They are scared for their lives in verse number 38. They forgot about verse number 35. Jesus looked at them and reminded them, hey, let us go over. There was only about a 5-mile journey here. But He said, let us go over unto the other side. Man, I don't know about you, but that lights a fire inside of me, knowing that whenever I'm going to do something great for God, God is going to go with me. And then knowing whenever a trial and a fiery burning comes upon me, God is going to be there with me. God is going to go to the other side. You say, Pastor, I've been trying to get from point A to point B in my Christian life. You keep trucking along. Don't you give up. Jesus said, let us go over to the other side. When Moses came to that Red Sea and he looked at all the water and thinking, my goodness, God, how in the world are we going to get millions of these Jews here across this Red Sea? Hey, go ahead, put that rod over that water. Can you imagine what Moses was thinking? Boy, my goodness, God got him through on the other side. Don't let your trials and your storms tonight deter you from doing the will of God for your life. The Bible says in Psalm 138, verse number 7, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of thine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Hey, you going through a storm tonight, remember Jesus is going with you. Jesus is right there with you, number two. His presence is in your possession. He said, let us. I love how Jesus is always with me as a child of God. I'm just 32 years old tonight. I know. By looking at me, you're thinking, surely he's about 27. I get it. With a physique like this, I would think that as well. But then I looked at Brother Nichols and I realized, Dad Bod is going to be rough. Just making sure you're listening. He'll have the stinking mic tomorrow, amen. I don't know what he'll say. It won't be spiritual. But I love verse number 35, and I thought about Psalm 16:11. The Bible says, the psalmist teaches us, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And then number 3, and lastly, I love verse number 38. His promise, he promises peace by his example. Look at verse number 38. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he rebuked the wind and the sea and said, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Here Jesus was asleep in the midst of a storm because he was so truly secure in God's perfect will for his life. Think about this. Jesus knows everything is going to be all right, but Jesus finds a moment to rest. Christian, listen to me tonight. If you can get one thing from this young preacher, find rest in the lovely Lord Jesus. Stop trying to find a calm. Stop trying to find a solution to your problems through every other outlet and avenue other than the precious Word of God. Jesus himself shows his humanity by finding a pillow and resting his very head, and all of a sudden, those disciples awake him with their cry. And I love how Jesus didn't draw a deaf ear, but he awoke immediately. And the Bible says he rebuked the wind and the sea. You want deliverance? You want to claim the promises of God? You want your faith to be increased? Stop living in doubt and fear. And you say, God, if you be for me, who can be against me? God, if you live inside of me and you're going to help me get through this and you're going to pass over to the other side with me, then God, I know that with you there's a great majority. I'm not a minority with God. I'm a majority with God. Hey, you've got it in the Bible tonight. You just got to claim his promises. But you hear this oftentimes. Pastor, you just don't know what I'm going through. I don't. And by the way, you don't know what pastors go through. Pastor's got feelings too. Everybody in here's got feelings. But be reminded, we all got targets on our back where the devil wants to throw that fiery dart. And sometimes, why? But he's God. He allows storms to come. But listen to me, friend. Jesus said, let us go over into the other side. Carest thou not that we perish? Oh, I hear you now. He didn't listen to the disciples when they were mumbling and complaining. What in the world's got? What has he got us into? My goodness, there's a storm. There's water everywhere. We're flooding. We're gonna sink. There's no way we're gonna get to the other side. I can only imagine whenever Jesus woke up, guys. Good grief. Just a few moments ago, I told you, we're gonna get there. We're gonna get there. Learn to trust God tonight. I've learned to trust God for such a time as this. Child of God, we're living in dangerous times. But it ain't time to give up on God. The 40th anniversary, you're going to be here. The Lord carries. 45th anniversary, you're going to be here. Hey, would to God, I hope that I'm going to be here. I want to serve God with my life because I know that God is worthy for me to serve Him because He's so good for me. Let us go to the other side. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the scripture tonight. Father, I hope I did it justice tonight. Lord Jesus, so many thoughts are flowing through my mind. Father, I pray tonight that if there's one person in here, or they're going through some travesty, difficulty, and tough time in their life, God, would you help them and remind them that you're with them, you're right there beside them. If not, carrying them. Father, would you be with that one tonight who's discouraged and their faith has been suffocated by fear? These disciples said, "Carest thou not that we perish?" Talking to the very lovely Lord Jesus, saying, "Hey, you even care that we're going to die?" And all of a sudden, he rebuked the storm. If we would just activate faith, and there's another thought in itself. God, help these dear people tonight. Thank you for all that you've done. Please bless Clearview and the Neptune family and all the staff. Do a great work here at this church. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me and my wife to have a small part here and to learn and glean what we did. And Lord, thank you so much. You've been so good. Continue to bless these next few hours and even tomorrow. Please, in Jesus' name and for your sake, we pray. Amen.